It's the morning show on K101, and right on time, prompt as always.
Of course.
Senator yes. James Lankford is with us this morning. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, good morning to you as well. I wish I was always prompt and on time, but pretty close.
I guess, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time. I know you've got a lot of things going on today, so I guess we'll get right into it. I guess the first thing everybody probably would like to know are your thoughts on the presidential debate the other night.
You know, I described it to one of the members of my staff. It was like watching a NASCAR race with a wreck on every lap. Not a lot of progress, but you just couldn't look away at any moment, just not knowing what was going to happen next on it as it went through. But it was somewhat what a lot of people expected. Mm-hmm. You know, the president wanted to be able to show, hey, I'm the leader here at this point, and he ended up debating both Chris Wallace and Joe Biden throughout the whole time, and just continued to be able to press through it. I was surprised how many questions Joe Biden just wouldn't answer through it. And that did surprise me, like the direct question that came to him about, will you not pack the court? What FDR tried to do and fail, will you not pack the court? Will you not cancel a filibuster? And Biden just straight up said, not going to answer that. And I thought that was interesting. But time will tell. Again, a lot of people are already settled, already resolved, that somewhere between 11% and 13% of the country are going to watch it and try to decide where they go from here, and we'll see two more of them coming soon.
Something kind of along those lines, you know, as contentious as the debate was, we see, obviously, last 4 years and probably will continue after the presidential election, the contentiousness among American citizens. Is there any way to return to a more civil debate among the public? I mean, I know in Congress you guys try, for the most part, to be civil, but among the American electorate, I don't know if there's any way we can return to a little more civil society.
Yeah, there is. Those are decisions that people make on being able to respect each other. People that you disagree with, you should be able to respect them as fellow Americans, fellow human beings, and people created in the image of God. I mean, there are people that I strongly disagree with their views on things, but I can still treat them with respect as we walk through the dialogue. And that's a decision that each of us make. Quite frankly, the politics in D.C., reflects the American culture more than the Americans want to admit. If you go online and see some of the comments that are made in social media or about restaurants or, you know, everything, it's just this really bitter, angry rhetoric that's going on just American to American. And then they look at the political rhetoric and they go, oh, I can't believe those two guys are fighting on stage. And I think, have you read somebody's Twitter feed? Have you read somebody's Facebook feed? Those are just decisions we make as a culture and as individuals on how to be able to respect each other. So, but again, we can hold leaders to a higher account, but leaders often reflect the people that are around them, and people that are elected reflect the people that are around them. So just hold ourselves to the high standard. That makes a difference.
I know one of the things you probably want to talk about is the Supreme Court nomination, and that's going to be front and center here in the Senate for the next few weeks.
Yeah, it will be. That Amy Coney Barrett has already started meeting with members of the Judiciary Committee, and they do the first round of questions. I will actually meet with her in a couple of weeks. I'm not on that particular committee. We'll have the opportunity to be able to sit down face-to-face. I've already started reading through a lot of her opinions and journals and such, and going through her background. She's a really remarkable background just as a person. Graduated first in her class in the Notre Dame Law School, was a lawyer at a major law firm, ended up going back to Notre Dame, taught 15 years law at Notre Dame, was 3 times the professor of the year at Notre Dame, was put on the Seventh Circuit that's the area, Indiana, Illinois, and that area as well, has had a stellar record with 600 opinions in that area. She is overwhelmingly approved. Literally every single faculty member in the law school at Notre Dame, Republican and Democrat, all affirmed her and said she should overwhelmingly be on the bench. And she's a mother of 7 at the same time. She has a really remarkable story and intellect. From everything that I've seen and read so far, she's straight down the line to say, I'm just going to say what the law says. And not try to say what the law doesn't say, but what the law says we have to do as a nation. And that's really what I look for as a judge.
Is there any chance at all the Democrats could have enough Republicans sway enough Republicans to block the nomination or block her confirmation?
No, I really doubt that, because at the end of the day, there will be people arguing about the process. But at the end of the day, you still make decisions on the person and where things are going to go on that. And she has such a stellar record that I would be surprised. Now, again, we watched what Democrats did years ago to Robert Bork in the hearing in 1987. We watched what happened to Clarence Thomas in the shredding of Clarence Thomas in the 90s. We watched what happened to Kavanaugh in the hearings and how everything got drug out. And so you never know just how ugly this can become based on what they choose to do to be able to attack someone. But Amy Coney Barrett seems to be a really remarkable candidate for the Supreme Court. She will actually be the only person on the court, if she's placed on the court, that is not from Harvard or Yale. And I know that may not seem like a big deal, but it would be nice to be able to have legal opinions. You know, there are folks that are not living on the East Coast that have good legal opinions as well. And so it'll be nice to be able to have someone on the court that's not a Harvard or Yale person has a wider perspective.
Hey, Senator, this is Brock. I was reading the story about, the Supreme Court justice, but there's an interesting fact in here, and I didn't know this, and I want to thank you personally. You ran the Falls Creek Youth Camp for several years, and I grew up Lutheran, and we didn't have a camp, so I wanted to kind of, thank you for some of the best years, the summers of my life. I had a great time at Falls Creek, so I thought that was a really cool, interesting tidbit that I didn't know about you.
Yep, that was 15 years. I was the director of the Falls Creek Youth Camp and loved it. And I've told quite a few folks that it doesn't matter what title I have the rest of my life, my favorite title I will have ever had in my life is the director of Falls Creek. It is such a unique place and such a great place for so many students in Oklahoma to be able to go and kind of reset their life. Mm-hmm. Camp's a good experience and it's a good place in the summer just kind of get away from the noise of everything else. And to just be able to think longer about your life, which, most of the time we don't do as adults. Students definitely don't do that. So finding that moment, then get a chance to talk about the spiritual aspect of life and also get a longer look, plus get an icy late at night after the service.
It's true.
You're not going to be able to shake that.
I remember getting saved at Falls Creek, and I came back after the summer and told my mom. She's like, "What'd you do, Brock Derek Campbell? We get confirmed, not saved."
You call it what you want to, but it is entirely appropriate to be able to get to a moment in your life that you have to decide, I've got a physical body, I've got a financial and emotional and health and all those things, but have I dealt with the spiritual side of life?
Sure.
There is no moment quite like pausing for a moment and saying, okay, what does eternity look like for me? Is there someone bigger than me, smarter than me in this world? And did someone make this world? And I know we don't think deep about those things, but that's a moment to be able to stop at Falls Creek and go, maybe there is someone bigger, smarter, stronger than I am. And if there is, I should get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
Senator, I got a question. With the Supreme Court nomination going to be taking up a lot of time there in the Senate, is there any possibility of any kind of COVID economic package being done before the election?
We still hold out hope for that. This has been exceptionally frustrating. Pelosi has been dug in, and I don't say that kind of stuff often, but she's really been dug in. She does not want the president to have a win right before the election, and so she keeps moving the goalposts on it and trying to be able to draw the president and his team in on this. I have been focused in on how do we actually get aid to the people that need it the most at the moment that they really need it. And we don't need to do another giant multi-trillion-dollar proposal. We need to figure out what is needed right now. We put up in the Senate several weeks ago now a proposal that was $300 billion, ended up getting called the skinny plan by the Democrats. And I laughed and I said, only in Washington, D.C. does something $300 billion get called skinny. But it gave assistance to schools. It gave additional money for testing, additional money for the vaccine development and for distribution. It gave additional money for small businesses. For ag and for farmers and ranchers. It did additional money for nonprofits. It really focused in on what are the key areas that need to be addressed right now based on the problems in our economy. It wasn't just trying to throw money out there and saying everybody wants free money, which everyone does want free money, obviously. But at the end of the day, that's somebody else's money. That's your next door neighbor's money. That's money that's going to be borrowed from our kids and grandkids and taxes. So we have to be able to resolve what are the key things that need to be done, do it, but not try to put out more than we have. The House originally started with a $3.5 trillion proposal, which is larger than the previous four packages on COVID combined. And then now they've backed off and said, well, we'll do $2.5 trillion. We're just trying to say, everybody take a deep breath in this. Let's do the things that need to be done. Mnuchin, who's the Secretary of Treasury, and Pelosi met again yesterday as they're trying to be able to negotiate something out. We have reiterated again, hey, we don't need to spend more than we need to spend, but we need to spend what is needed. And we'll see if we can get there in the next couple of weeks.
And finally, with the election coming up, anything new on election security, any new issues that are popped up or anything that you've really been looking at?
Yeah, I've met again with Chad Wolf, who's our acting Secretary of Department of Homeland Security. And I met with FBI Director Wray just last week, talking through election security. What's the current status? What are they seeing? What are the trends that are happening right now? Things look good at this point on foreign interaction with our elections. By this point in 2016, we had seen Russia start to be able to poke around, and people were figuring it out on the FBI level. They're watching that very attentively and not seeing those same things right now. We are still seeing Russia and China and Iran try to do election interference in the sense that they're putting things out on social media, putting different images, stories that are not true, and trying to get Americans to be able to spread them around on social media. So we do see that from China, Russia, and Iran. So people just need to pay attention to the most basic thing. Don't believe everything you read on the Internet. I mean, that's the most basic principle out there of the Internet. So we're seeing some foreign countries that are trying to do influence change on that, but not the interference that we've seen. But we do need to pay attention to, if you're going to do mail-in voting, just make sure you do it correctly and get everything done correctly if you choose to be able to do that, which I do absentee mail-in a lot based on them on the road a lot. Just got to do it right or vote in person. Early voting is a great way to be able to do it, to do in-person voting in the county election board the days leading up to the election or obviously day of.
Thank you very much, Senator. I know you've got some other things you need to attend to here this morning, so we appreciate you taking some time and joining us this morning on The Morning Show.
You bet. Glad to do it. Y'all take care.
All right. Senator James Lankford today on The Morning Show on K101 KWOX Woodward.